But I never had to have surgery, and God did restore my voice. But what he did, even more than that, he did a work inside of me during that time, because there was a lot of hidden issues in my life, a lot of hurts and a lot of disappointments that I had not ever dealt with.
She is a full-time singing Christian evangelist. Her voice was temporarily taken from her, and she dealt with important personal issues. Cindy Lewis will share her story as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Cindy Lucas and contemporary praise, an inspiring interview with a Christian singer, and a timely ministry from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Let's begin by praising the Lord. Join with us singing Hosanna. Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our guest reader, Kathy Bowden Toole.
Thank you, Whit. Today's reading is entitled Life Abundant. It is written by Bob Wedwick from Arizona, who says, God wants us not only to have life, but to experience life abundantly. Our scripture verse is taken from 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Mr. Wedrick writes, looking in my neighbor's trash bin is not the sort of thing I normally do. However, one day my neighbor had put his trash bin by the curb for pickup, but the bin was not positioned within reach of the garbage truck's mechanical arm. While shifting the bin, I noticed an unusual green leaf poking out from under the lid, so I had a better look. There, still in its dark green pot, was a plant, a red philodendron. The soil was bone dry, but I thought I could rescue the plant. I took it home. After weeks of watering and a few drops of plant food, Red gained strength and produced new leaves. Today, the plant is over 4 feet tall. It is a picture of happiness, if there is such a thing for a plant. Although I nurture the plant, its desire to survive and grow comes from that mysterious energy known only to our Creator. If the energy of life is found in a plant that has been neglected and discarded, how much more vitality comes from God to the millions of people who have been neglected and discarded? Jesus said in John 10:10 that he came so that all people might have life abundantly. By his example, we are to water and feed each other so that we may all experience life as fully as possible. Let us pray. Creator God, create in us a desire to nurture one another so that we can grow daily in our love. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, it's Share Your Faith time.
I'm happy to welcome on Methodist Hour today a young lady who sings for Christ. Her name is Cindy Lucas. God bless you, Cindy, and thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Cindy, where do you hail from?
I hail from a little town called Etheridge, Tennessee, which is about an hour and a half south of Nashville, Tennessee.
So you're a Tennessean.
I am a Tennessean. I'm a volunteer.
And I'll say to our radio listeners, a very beautiful young lady. Now, Cindy, you've put out a number of albums of your singing and your songs, and they're beautiful. I've heard you sing, and we thank God for your ministry. You feel you're serving Christ with this music.
Oh, absolutely. In 1999, I lost my voice.
Oh, my, I can't believe that.
Yeah, for almost a year, I couldn't speak much higher than a whisper. And that was before I started doing this. At that time, I was just doing what most people do, going to church and serving in the church. I was a choir director. And when I lost my voice, that kind of put a setback in what I was doing, because you have to have your voice to lead a choir.
You sure do.
And I was told by two specialists that I had to have surgery. And I just didn't feel a peace about that. I don't advocate people not listening to their doctor, but I went to my pastor.
Yes.
And as Methodists, we actually have a healing service as part of our order of worship. And he prayed about it, and we had a healing service, not just for me, but for other members of the congregation. I didn't get an instant healing. That's what I wanted. But I never had to have surgery, and God did restore my voice. But what he did, even more than that, he did a work inside of me during that time. Because there was a lot of hidden issues in my life, a lot of hurts and a lot of disappointments that I had not ever dealt with. And through that year, God taught me how to forgive, and
Beautiful.
He restored my voice and he restored my spirit.
Well, you know, Cindy, many times the bad things that happen to us can be turned.
Oh, absolutely. Romans 8:28 says God works all things together to those who love the Lord.
That's right. Yes, for good.
That's right.
Yes. Well, that's tremendous, Cindy. Now, I and our listeners will be curious to know, can you tell us what caused that loss of your voice? What was the medical reason?
Yes. Actually, it was abusing my voice. It was doing things. I smoked. I screamed. I talked wrong.
Wow.
So we can do things that cause things. You know, I tell people, yes, God forgives you, but sometimes you have some consequences to deal with.
Yes, sometimes it's our own doing, our troubles.
Absolutely. They do fall on our own doorstep sometimes when we open those doors. But God is a God of redemption.
Yes.
And it's not that he didn't love me any less because of those things, but he had a better way.
Yes.
And he had to silence me for me to find it out, but he had a better way.
He's probably delivered you from the smoking, has he?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I quit smoking. That was one of the first things that I gave up.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, Whitney, the biggest thing that he delivered me from was bitterness. And unforgiveness.
Oh, no, that's important, isn't it?
I've got so much more peace in my life now.
Wonderful.
And the only reason that I can even sing for him is because of the song he put in my heart.
Yes. Well, you know, if we try to minister for Christ in song, it has to come from the heart.
Oh, absolutely.
And not just from the head.
Absolutely.
We have to be singing something that we deeply feel.
Right. That's right.
And we want to convey a message, and the message is Jesus.
That's right.
And whether you're preaching or singing,
that's right.
It's the Lord you want to present.
That's right.
You want people to see him and hear him.
That's right. I found out real quick that the world didn't need another singer, but they do need God.
Yes.
So he had to get me out of the way. And we die daily.
Yes.
You know, we die daily to those things in our life.
Yes. Well, Cindy, God bless you. And I want you to come back next week. We're just about out of time. And let's go back to the beginning next week.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you about how you found Christ in the first place.
All right.
And by the way, I'm so glad to hear you're a United Methodist.
Me too.
And we need your witness and your beautiful smile and your reflection of Christ in your life in our church. And so I want to talk with you next week about your ministry. You go around and sing to churches,
sir.
And how you began that ministry.
Okay.
So thank you, and I've enjoyed talking with you today. We'll look forward to next week.
Thank you.
Cindy Lucas, God bless you.
God bless.
Now here's Cindy singing a song to her Lord. Make yourself at home. Cindy Lucas singing to her Lord, Make Yourself at Home. Today's message is entitled, Blind Sight. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, and I'll just read some selected verses. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes. And he said to him, Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, and he was able to see. The neighbors who had seen him before he as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "Well, it is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus had made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask, "How it is that he received his sight?" He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they began to again ask the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And the blind man said, "He is a prophet." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and you're trying to teach us," and they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven the man out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one who is speaking with you is he." And the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped Jesus. Amen. Judy's dad was a builder, and he grew up in Middle Kentucky, somewhere around Somerset. Work on the farm as a young man was really very hard, and most of the work was done by hand. While in his 20s, Bud Collier moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, and after a successful experience in the appliance business, Bud took the challenge of becoming a home builder. One home led to another, and finally he was building whole subdivisions. His boyhood memories of hard work and little pay gave him a lot of passion for his desire to succeed, and every day was a new challenge for him, and he worked with every ounce of energy he had. One afternoon, he was inspecting one of his homes, and he stepped out of the house under the driveway and stepped on a board that had a large nail protruding from it. The nail went right through his foot. Well, the doctor said the foot would heal, but he needed to take a tetanus shot to prevent infection and blindness. A few days later, Judy's dad was blind in his left eye. There was nothing that could be done. The shot was too strong for his system. With grief for the loss of the sight in one eye, but with gratitude for the other, he moved on with his life. His business grew, and often he would have 50 to 100 homes under construction at the same time. One winter, the temperatures dropped way below normal, and dozens of his homes were flooded because of bursting pipes. The homes were still under construction, and the losses, well, it was just devastating. The pressure was tremendous, and he really needed to rest, but he wouldn't take it. Then, without the slightest warning, it happened. The doctor said he wasn't sure how much damage the heart attack had done, but it had taken its toll. If you had known Bud Collier, you would have known that when the thaws came and the grass turned green, he was back in that springtime building homes. Bud had a passionate dream to live in Fort Lauderdale, on the beach. Whenever life got too complicated and the pressures of his work, well, he found a respite right down in the sound of the tropical beaches. He just loved it. Well, his dream came true. Still in his 40s, Bud and even their son Richard moved to sunny South Florida. Within the first 10 years, he was back in the building business, and this time he's building small motels and duplexes. His life was full of energy and enthusiasm for everything he did. We rarely ever thought about his partial blindness or even his heart attack, and it really didn't slow him down a bit. Well, it happened on a Sunday morning a few years later. Bud and Eva were getting ready for church, and Bud had complained about the grayness in his vision, but it cleared up, and they went on to church. Not long after the worship service began, a blood clot discharged in his system and found its way to the vessels in his right eye. Now he was totally blind. Now, there's more to this story. The time of this blindness was a time of the greatest growth in his walk with Christ. There was a presence of God in the whole family. His son and his wife were very active in evangelism, and Judy and I were getting ready to go into the ministry, and Bud had taken a very active role in his church. You see, his spiritual eyes were being opened as his physical sight was lost. And I think about his life today, and I realize that my then young eyes and spirit could not really understand the grief that he had experienced. Now, I'm sure there were days that were filled with sorrow for him, but you know, I never heard him complain. Whenever our children would come to see him, he played with them like nothing was wrong. I think it was his spiritual sight that gave him the vision and the courage to play with our children that he could not see. As Jesus was walking, let's look at the text. As Jesus was walking, he saw a young man who was blind from birth. You may have forgotten, but this man is the only person in the whole Bible who was healed by Jesus who had been afflicted since birth. I hope you'll reread the story. It's John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. Now, we really do not know how old the man was, but we do know that he had never seen anything. He had nothing to try to remember. He had no recollection of any faces or landscapes or anything. Can you imagine what it must have been like for him to all of a sudden be able to see? Can you remember a time when you were in a dark room or something and sort of groping along the wall trying to find the light switch, and then the fear that left you when you could see? Do you remember what the disciples said when they saw the blind man? They said, "I wonder what he did wrong that God would punish him." Oh, well, it may have been his parents and that they were so bad and God punished them through him. Then some well-meaning neighbor saw him and wouldn't even believe that it was him. "No, that's not him. The guy we know is a beggar and he always had the red and white cane with a tin cup." Guess what else happened? The Pharisees. The Pharisees said the whole thing had to be a hoax because Jesus healed the man on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and they personally knew that God wouldn't do something like that on Sunday morning. I hope you hear what I mean. Especially since there had never been any record of any blind man being healed in church or anywhere else for that matter. You see, the neighbors couldn't believe it. The priests were scared that he might be true and make them look bad because they couldn't do it. And his parents were afraid to admit it because they knew he'd be kicked out of church, or they'd be kicked out of church by the frightened priest. And the formerly blind man was confused by the whole thing. All he could say was, "All I know that I was once blind and now I see." And it was Jesus who made it happen. Now, good friends, there's so much more that's packed in these verses, but there's a couple of things that you and I need to know to understand what this gospel writer is really trying to teach us. The first thing is this. It was important that the blind man was blind at birth. The reason is because if he had been recently blinded, there would have been a way to explain it away. They could have blamed it on something the man did. It could have been God's way of punishing him. And now you and I know that God does not do things like that. But they thought that's a possibility. Another thing is that it was then Jesus who took the initiative to heal the man. The blind man did not even suspect that he'd ever be able to see. That's incredible. You see, there had never been a blind man who'd been healed before in all known history, anything that we knew about. It had never happened. Well, the third thing is this, and you have to sort of read it to really catch it. The blind man first recognizes Jesus as a man, then as a good man, and then as a kind of Superman. Then he calls Jesus a prophet, and finally, he recognizes Jesus as the Son of God. The Pharisees saw everything that happened, but they refused to believe anything. Isn't it strange that those who were supposed to know about faith were actually blind and refused to accept Jesus as the miracle of God? And the man who was blind is the one who saw and believed. Judy was in the hospital room when her dad died. Just before he died, he began to describe the beauty of the day and the flowers in the room. He said that he had seen Jesus and it was so beautiful. Now, those in the room were reassured by his words, and they thought he might have been sort of hallucinating because of some kind of drug. While he was talking, his son Richard came into the room. Before Richard could speak, his dad turned to him and he said, "Son, why are you here? You should be in school." Now, friends, that was a miracle. That his human sight was restored in those last few minutes was a miracle to all who experienced it. That he could see Jesus and the beauty of heaven was the evidence of the resurrection. And I assure you that's the point of this lesson. Amen.
Thank you, John Wolfe, for that message. Yes, John. There is physical sight and there is spiritual sight. I suppose most of us would say that to become physically blind would be one of the life's worst tragedies. But John, to be spiritually blind, according to the Bible, is eternal tragedy. Fanny Crosby, the hymn writer, became blind when she was just 6 weeks old. She never saw a sunset, a flower, or a human face. But when she was 8 years old, she wrote, "Oh, what a happy child am I, although I cannot see. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." Already at 8 years of age, she had met Jesus and could see him spiritually. She felt enriched. The blind man in our story from John chapter 9 received not only a physical healing, but he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He found eternal riches when he saw the Lord. So it is with all humans. Dear listener, may your spiritual eyes be opened to see Christ as your Savior, Lord, and friend. This is the greatest gift of all. Call upon him for spiritual sight today. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, this past Thursday, I was listening to the president of a seminary in Ukraine. He was here by permission from the president of Ukraine, actually. His being in our men's fellowship was really by accident. There were about 50 of us, and the president and his wife were just absolutely amazing. Their stories really touched our hearts. One of the critical things that he is doing with his students at the seminary is taking them to the front lines to serve communion to the soldiers on the battlefield. Some of those students have been killed while serving communion. His words were simple and powerful. Several dear friends of mine have been working with him in the seminary for the past several years and confirmed everything that he said. But the reason I'm telling you is that I was reminded that very few of us ever face a life-threatening situation while not just sharing the gospel, but actually doing the gospel. Gunfire and rockets are exploding all around you, and you're serving communion. I just could hardly believe that these young men and women are risking their lives for others and for their country. Sometimes, you know, in our churches, we waste a lot of time arguing over things that really don't matter at all. One thing that is so important, I want to remind you, is that no matter what you're doing, if you're serving coffee, teaching Sunday school, or greeting people on Sunday morning, whatever it is, what you're doing is sacred. Now, while it may not be life-threatening, it could very well be life-changing. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com. MethodistHourInternational.com, or just check us out on Facebook. If you would like to support what we do, just go to our website, MethodistHourInternational.com. And I just pray that you find joy in what you do to serve the Lord. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.